Trainiacs, Trainiacs, what is up? Triathlon Taren here, coming to you literally from the awards stage of Half Ironman Austin 70.3. They just wrapped up the awards. They just awarded all of the spots to the Half Ironman World Championships in South Africa in 2018. And I'm going. Made it. I'll tell you all about the race today. This is a solo podcast. We're going to try how that goes. And I thought that this would be the best place to give you the play-by-play of how the day went and how your boy, Triathlon Taren, ended up qualifying for Worlds. I'll give you a hint. It was in a roll-down, but it didn't have to roll down too far. So I came here with very high expectations. If you watch the vlog, I was looking for somewhere around a 440 race in total. Ideally, I think that's what my body is capable of. But, you know, I call that my perfect race. That's not what I expect to do every single race. And something that was said to me this week that it makes perfect sense is you have ownership over the work and the process. You don't have any ownership over the results or the outcome. And today was a perfect example of that. Basically, the 440 that I was looking for, it was totally attainable based on the race that I did, but I did a 457. And it was largely because the bike course didn't allow for a very fast bike. So I was looking for a 230 bike, ended up doing a 243, I believe, had a mechanical, dropped a chain. We'll get into all that. And then because of the conditions of the day, which I'll also get into, huge amount of people suffering from dehydration. And I ended up having a massive drop in blood pressure that I lost about 2 or 3 minutes on the very last loop of the run. So there we go. There's 17 minutes. But you know what? I still think that just you take like that conditions and the bike course out of the equation, we're basically right on the 440. But marrying myself to that 440 expectation and hoping that and like basically placing my expectations, my self-worth, all of my, is this a success or not on that 440 time, it's disrespectful to the conditions and the race that we're doing. It's a freaking hard race, Half Ironman. Okay, so let's go for the play-by-play. I came down here, as you saw in a lot of the vlogs, going into heat training and doing time in the sauna. And it's Austin. I was expecting it to be very hot. It was not hot. I was in Mellow Johnny's, which is Lance Armstrong's bike shop, yesterday. And the morning before the race, tons of triathletes were in the shop buying up toques and hats and mitts and arm warmers and leg warmers and jackets. I ended up buying a pair of booties so that my toes didn't get cold and I didn't have cement feet coming off of the bike, a jacket to take the wind off of my chest and my arms. I still had arm warmers underneath that jacket, and then a pair of gloves so that I still had dexterous fingers so that I didn't drop any nutrition. And show up on the day of the race, it was 5 degrees Celsius, which is about 42 degrees Fahrenheit, and it was freaking cold. Really, really freaking cold. I was bundled up. Being from Canada, I knew how to dress for it, but as soon as I got into my wetsuit, took off my shoes, all of a sudden my feet are just on fire on the grass. It was like, the grass is lava, the grass is lava. So then I went into a porta potty for about 15 minutes to warm up, and that was delightful. If you have access to hundreds and hundreds of porta potties and you need to stay warm before a race, do that. Hello. Talk about a hack. So I did that and then walked out basically right in time for the start. I was looking for around a 32, 33 minute swim. I seated myself up around the 29 minute swimmers because the plan was that if I was able to get on faster feet than my 32 minute swim justified, I would have a nice fast swim. if I wasn't able to get on those fast feet and get the draft from them, I would just let that pack swim away because I couldn't keep up with them, and then I'd have the swim all to myself. Had a little bit of an in-between situation from that. I would describe the swim as angry. Because it was just a straight out for, call it 700 meters, and across for 500 meters, and then a back in for 700 meters, it's just a straight line. And you have people leaving in a rolling start from the exact same spot. That straight line becomes really congested. And there were maybe three people across that were elbow to elbow. And the few things that happened to me is, number one, I literally got swam over. Not like swam over my legs, not swam over my shoulder, not like swam over just a little part of me. I literally got swam over all of me. The entire triathlon Terran, he swam over me. That sucked. I also got straight on. I saw it coming. Close fist punched in the head. So that was fun too. And then this one kind of ticked me off. A guy, when we were at a turn buoy, turned around to kind of situate himself because it was really foggy. And he kind of looked forward, got sight on the buoy, looked back, made perfect eye contact with me, turned back onto his stomach, gave a few kicks, and wham, knowing that I was coming, kicked me right in the neck. Oh, so pissed off at that. So it was punchy. It was hard. There was a ton of rubbing. There were people everywhere. I ended up having, say, about 400 meters at the start where there were just people all over me, everywhere. Then it opened up, and from 400 meters until, say, around, I don't know, the last 400 meters, I had a lot of room, had a lot of sight lines that were easy. It wasn't people everywhere. I wasn't just trying to follow toes. I was able to find buoys even though it was foggy. But it was just bright enough as the sun was coming up that I could see things fairly well. And in the end, I swam really well, a lot better than I thought I was capable of. It'd be the fastest half Ironman swim that I've ever done in 31 minutes and about 12 seconds, I think it was. So that was awesome. I think that I owe a lot of that to the new wetsuit. This is going to be a plug for the Tier Cat 5 Hurricane that I used just for the first time today. I could feel myself being kept really nicely aligned. I didn't feel constricted though, so I was able to kick. I was able to turn my arms over. I was able to feel the water because they've got really thin panels with like these catch panels right on the forearm that allows you to feel the catch at the front of the stroke, and it's like, it's almost like a scoop as well, so you can scoop a ton of the water. And I was a big, big fan of that. Get out of the water, that wetsuit gets ripped off of me by a wetsuit stripper. This is not a wetsuit stripper that you'd see on 6th Street in Austin. That's a different kind of stripper. And I had an issue with, I wasn't able to get my Garmin watch underneath the wetsuit so that my left sleeve could be ripped over that Garmin watch really easily. So I went up to the wetsuit stripper, pointed at my arm, and he went, bam, one try, super easy. If you ever have the chance to go for a wetsuit stripper or not go for a wetsuit stripper, go wetsuit stripper. And then I flew on my back, kicked my feet up into the air, and he ripped it off in a matter of a half a second. Big fan of the wetsuit strippers. Got into transition, and transition in this, normally I tend to be fairly quick in transition, very minimal. However, with all of the cold issues that were going to come on the bike and all of the gear that I ended up getting, I knew that I was going to sacrifice a fair bit of time in transition, putting on my booties, putting on the jacket, putting on gloves, onto wet hands. But I figured that 2 extra minutes in time that I would lose in transition one, I would gain on the bike because I wouldn't be cold at the start and I'd be able to put power into the pedals right away, and I wouldn't have cement feet coming into transition two. And I think it was a good idea. It just seems so silly sitting on the ground in transition two. Get out onto the bike, and I've got to describe the bike as a piss off. It was a bit of a piss off, not because of the time I'm fine with. The one thing that I am disappointed in myself for doing is I was on an uphill shifting in the rear cassette, and at the same time I decided it would be smart to shift the front chainring down, and I slipped my chain, so I had to hop off the bike, lost 2 minutes there. That was a stupid move. I know better than that. Shift one at a time. Duh, Taryn. But here's where it got kind of like a piss off that I wasn't a big fan of things, is there were a lot of dudes here that raced that bike as if it was their life. And I don't mean people that were treating it as a time trial, coming out onto the road and just hammering it at the start, which there were a lot of people that did, but it was people that literally actually ganged up on the competition. So there was one instance where there's a group of three guys that were riding together, drafting, full on drafting, taking turns. It was a peloton pulling through. And this isn't the only person, I'm not the only person that saw something like this. This happened multiple times over the course of the day from a lot of people that said that this happened. And then when I tried to get in front of them, they would speed up and they wouldn't let me pass. And then, okay, all right, we're speeding up. Great. This is the speed I'm happy with. I wanted to speed up. I dropped back. They'd slow down. It got so fucking stupid. Yeah, this is a podcast. I don't swear in YouTube, but I'll swear in this. It got so stupid that in two separate instances, when I dropped back at one point, the guy knowing that I was dropping back to go in front of him. Oh, no. There's one time where a guy from that group pulled out in front of me, cut me off, went about 3 feet in front of me, and launched a snot rocket over his shoulder, knowing full well that I was right behind him. Another time, one of the guys does the same thing, pulls out in front of me, cuts me off, eating a banana, and instead of throwing it off to the side in the ditch, literally chucks it in behind, right at me, onto the road. I have no idea what this is all about. Like, what are the tactics behind being an asshole? I don't know. You know what? If anyone watches my YouTube videos, I think you get the sense that I love triathlon. I love pushing myself to the limit. I love seeing what our bodies are made of and having the best performances that we can. But I believe that it has to be put in perspective of if those guys have a 4 minute faster bike because of all those dickhead tactics that they had going on the bike, how does it change their life? Not at all. Not one bit. They don't make more money. They don't make more friends. Maybe they feel a little bit better about themselves, but do you really feel better about yourself by making somebody else's day worse? I don't know. I think that is an aspect of triathletes that take themselves so seriously that they are willing to make other people's days less enjoyable to make themselves feel more important. I think that is completely against the spirit of Ironman, and I think that those guys should be ashamed of themselves. I'll say it. I was pissed off. So that's why I was pissed off at the bike. The bike itself, there was a huge amount of hills. There was basically no point where for more than 30 seconds we could do anything to get into a groove. It was a hill up. It was a hill down. The wind swirled the entire way. There's probably a turn every mile. I think there were 57, 59 turns, maybe more. I'm not sure. In the best bike split race plan, there were 57 different sections. And like you could not get into a groove. So while my target power was 206, what was happening is I was probably pushing it a fair bit high. I was going somewhere in between 170 and 260, trying to keep an average of about 206. But I would have to guess that I would be somewhere more around 210, 212. Meanwhile, my heart rate, I was trying to stay under my ceiling of 160, and I was doing just fine. I was somewhere in the neighborhood of around 148 to 153, so everything's good. Heart rate's feeling good. Power's nice and high, but my speed just wasn't there. So I have to think that that's a matter of a little bit of the start and stop, a lot of the turns that were there, a lot of the hills, a lot of the winds, which ended up being nothing but crosswinds because it was swirling so much. So basically executed the bike that I wanted to, just didn't get the time that I wanted to because the course doesn't allow for it. If it was just a straight out and back in Winnipeg roads and I needed to hold the same power, frankly, I would have liked it more just going into a headwind for 45K because I could just get into a groove and go and put my head down. But didn't happen. So I have ownership over the process, but I don't have ownership over the outcome. One thing that I will fess up to, though, that Coach Pat ended up reminding me of is over the last month since going to Kona, the biggest thing that suffered in the swim, bike, run, nutrition, maintenance was the bike. Because I didn't bring a bike to Kona, kept running a lot while I was in Kona, was still able to swim while I was in Kona, got some good swims in at home, but over the last 3 weeks I didn't bike a lot, and that real top end of fitness, it comes off in a hurry. So yeah, I probably lost a couple of minutes by the travel that I've been going through over the last little while. And tack on a couple of minutes with the chain slipping, tack on minutes because of the course not being absolutely ideal for a blazing fast race. And actually everyone said that, just about every single person that I've talked to that raced the race said bike was tough. Bike was so tough. Even the pros, you look at the pros' bike times and their overall times were quite slow, largely just due to the bike being slow. So yeah, that was the bike. I ended up coming into T2 and wasn't sure how I was going to feel. Wasn't sure how the sore Achilles and heel was going to do. It felt good in the morning. Felt a little twingy on the bike. Hopped off the bike and it felt fine. I was just kind of delicate as I was running through transition. Had a really good second transition. Kept things nice and minimal. Put the bike on. And then all I had to do was put on the shoes that I had pre-filled with baby powder, so they slipped on really quickly. Put on the slick Ventum hat that everyone seems to like on Instagram. And was there anything else? Oh, I put a flask of V-Fuel energy gel in my back pocket. And that was it. I think I had a minute and 20 transition. And I'm sitting here looking at the transition, and it's probably... it's hundreds of meters long. It's a huge second transition. Run out of transition, and all of a sudden, I could tell, like, immediately, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very good here, folks. Okay. Sorry. I gotta bring it back to the bike, because I'm missing out on something very critical here for later. On the bike, one of the weird things that was going on is I dialed in my nutrition just as I normally would. Picky bars, two bottles of Scratch with a good solid scoop of electrolyte powder, and what else? Oh, a mixture of Cliff Blocks, and at the end, because the bike ended up taking a little bit longer than I expected, I added a gel in there. And this never happens in a race. Basically, during a race, I am always unable to pee or poop. Too much information? Maybe. However, I'm going somewhere with this. Pretty much always unable to pee or poop. On the bike this time, I was unable to stop peeing. I believe I peed on the bike while still riding. Yes, that's right. Six times. Full on pees. Six times. Okay? So something was weird there. Something was really weird. Often that'll happen from a lack of salt. I didn't really change a whole lot yesterday. I did have a large meal last night. It was East Indian food. I'm wondering if there's something in there that sucked the salt out of me. I don't know. I've got to retrace basically yesterday and this morning, go through the entire meal plan and see if there's something in there that would cause me to lose a lot of salt. And but you know what? Like, as I even think about it, it's really strange because I did the hyperhydrator from Osmo in the morning in addition to my couple of slices of peanut butter. And the hyperhydrator, I think it's got 1,600 milligrams of salt. And I have that all the time. Something's weird there. Okay, so keep that in mind. I've dehydrated myself by peeing out all of my fluids. Okay, I get on to the run, and I felt good. I felt really good. I went out, and I was holding about a 414 per kilometer pace. And I want to say that that is somewhere around a 650 mile. The target pace was a 4.5 minute kilometer. So I just slowly brought it down because I've got my watch set up to the average pace. So you don't want to bring it down immediately right away because you might basically get your body into a mode that is too slow, like way too slow. Then you're like way slower than your average pace. So I just slowly brought it down going out, and the road was really hilly. The course here is just overall hilly. Apparently the bike was supposed to be a 1500 foot of elevation change. One guy said that with about 20 kilometers left to go, he had already hit 2400 feet of elevation gain. So really hilly on the bike. The run is the same. Run out of transition two and you already start going up a hill. And basically it's the same thing. Like, there is not a spot that you really have much of a flat. Come out of transition two and I'm holding that 414 per kilometer pace, but trying to just slowly bring it down, which I did. And the first lap felt great. Just felt great. Holding myself back. Everything's feeling fresh. Finished the first lap of three in 428 per kilometer pace. We're talking a 656, 658 mile. Feeling really good. Head out onto the second loop. Everything's very good. Do that second loop in 432 per kilometer, about a 702 per mile pace. So I'm bang on 14 kilometers into the 21 kilometers and two out of three laps done. I'm bang on with the exact pace that I want to hit. Get onto the third lap of three and everything starts kind of feeling strange. I start losing perception in like the periphery of my vision. My field of vision was starting to narrow. And I'm going, what's going on? I had not a clue what was going on. Am I just pushing the pace? And because that often happens when you're doing like say a 5K road race and you'll lose field of vision because you're lacking oxygen. And I look down and I'm like, no, I'm actually going 444 per kilometer. What the hell? And then it climbed up to 446 per kilometer. And I'm thinking like, oh geez, you know, maybe these hills are just taking a lot out of me. Or because it was so, so hilly, I guess, you know, maybe I cooked myself by going that 4.5 minute pace. Maybe that's too fast a pace for me. I'll explain what ended up happening right after the race. But I end up finishing that last lap in 5 minute per kilometer. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to hold it. I wanted to show all you trainiacs that all the training could pay off and you could hit your numbers as much as you know, you could set a goal and you could reach it. But again, you've got ownership over the process. You don't have ownership over the outcome. So I was in a situation where I wanted to walk, especially on the last couple of uphills coming in to that last finish line. But then I thought about something that Mark Allen had said to me in the podcast that we did with him when we first launched this podcast. He said that it's not about having your best race possible time-wise every single race. It's about having the best race that you can get out of your body every single race. And to me, I had to reassess and I had to think that the best race possible for me today did not involve walking. Walking has no aspect of my best race at all. that's giving up. That's giving in. That's not pushing myself to the limits and seeing what my body is capable of. And I committed to finishing that entire race, not walking one bit. And that became a success. Time-wise, I ended up having actually still a really fast run. It'd be a personal best run for me in a half Ironman. It was a 1:36 and change half Ironman run. The run course was a little bit short. I'd have to say somewhere around 400 or 500 meters short. But coming from a 1:44 half marathon previous personal best run, I'm really, really happy with the 1:36 because all we were targeting was a 1:35. And that's why I was really happy. Fantastic swim, which we could control. Fantastic run, which we could control, even considering the difficulties that I had at the end. And the run has been my Achilles heel lately. Oh, and by the way, my heel, it started hurting towards the last half, and it hurts like a son of a bitch now. But I don't know. I don't think that it really hampered my run whatsoever. So I was very happy with that run. Got to see some of the pros coming in. Congratulations to Sarah True, who is going to be on a podcast in the next couple of weeks. Make sure that you are totally subscribed if you don't want to miss that. She was fantastic, potentially my new favorite female pro. And who's the German guy? I have not a clue what his name was. Very difficult to pronounce name, but I saw him coming into the finish line and got to see that. So I come into the finish line. Here we go. And the finish line in Ironman Austin, you come around and you actually run into the Katie Ledecky Arena, the Ledecky Arena, and you run in through an entrance right into like main floor with stands all around and people cheering you on and tunes blaring. And you run down the typical Ironman finish chute and they're announcing your name and your finish time. And Taryn Gazelle from Winnipeg in 4:57:13. Time that I was very happy with. I was very happy to get under 5 hours considering the difficulties that I had encountered on the bike and then the difficulty of finishing that run. And 5 steps crossing the finish line, I fall down. Fall down into a wheelchair and basically couldn't see. Had my hand over my face. I believe Mel got it in the video. And I got whisked away into the med tent for an hour and a half, basically longer than anyone that had been in the med tent went into the med tent for all day. And what they explained to me is that loss in vision that I was having, and based off of the readings that they were getting, is that my blood pressure was just astronomically low. It was like crazy low. And at first they had me sitting down because I didn't want to lie down, and I was sipping Gatorade, but my stomach filled up really quickly and my vital signs weren't getting better, and I was hot. So I was really, really hot. I started pouring water over my head, and then when they started noticing that I was pouring water over my head, they said, oh, well, he's hot, so we got to cool him off. They made me lay down and they put a bunch of cold towels on me. Well, that lasted about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden I was shivering. And they said, are you cold now? And I said, I'm freezing. So they get those space blankets and they start putting them on me. And it basically wasn't enough to warm me up. I was still shivering. And they made me take my tri-kit top off, and they put a scrubs top on so that it could get the dampness out. But I laid there for a good hour and they kept taking my vital signs over and over and over. And they said, you know, this is typically a sign of dehydration. Did you take much nutrition? And I said, yeah, I did my standard nutrition. I'm like, well, that's kind of strange. Did anything weird happen out there? And I said, I peed on the bike about 6 times. Full-on peas. And they said, is that normal? And I went, no, not at all. I went, there, that's it. There's something in that dehydrated me so much that in the last half of the run, it wasn't that I was bonking. It was that my blood pressure had dropped so much that I was losing my vision and I was having a tough time moving my limbs because I couldn't pump the blood fast enough. So I laid there for 60 minutes and eventually my core temperature raised. They got me up to walk around, said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Lightheaded." Wrong answer. They made me sit down, covered me up, made me drink a bunch of glasses of cider, which were actually delicious, by the way. And thank you to all of the medical volunteers there that took care of me. Thank you very much. And thank you to all the volunteers for the day. You were all awesome. And then I came out about an hour and a half later, and I was good. Felt good. Felt fine. My heel hurts like crazy now, but I ended up being really happy with my time. First thing that I looked at, I had actually no idea what my time was because none of my Garmins were agreeing with me during the ride. So I knew what my run time was, and I knew that was a good run time. I knew that my swim time was a good time, but I had not a clue what my bike time was. I thought it was like a 3-hour bike, and I didn't really know what my time was, what my placing was. First thing I do is I open up my phone and there's a text from Coach Pat and No Triathlon Kim saying, "Fifth in age group. Oh my God. That's awesome. Congratulations. You killed it. Great swim. Great run." Pat says, "What happened on the bike?" Of course. Lots to work on there, Pat. Lots to work on there, buddy. So I figured that fifth might have a chance at a roll down spot in the World Championships in South Africa, the Half Ironman World Championships in South Africa in 2018. And I'm very much in a mode now in my life that it might be tight to afford it because it's bloody expensive. Basically how that works, getting a spot in the World Championships at the full Ironman or half Ironman, you show up where I'm sitting right now on in front of a stage, and they go through the awards of the top five in each age category all throughout the race. So I got a little bit of hardware sitting next to me, and then they start doing the World Championship spots. And if you aren't here or if you don't want to go, they give it away to the next person. And it's literally like, first in the age category, Mike Johnson. Mike? No Mike? Second in the age category, Tim Clark. Tim? No Tim? Third in the age category. And every single person has the opportunity to take their spot. And there's a certain amount of spots allocated to each age group. So we had three in our age category, and I was fifth. And nobody in the first four spots in our age category were even here. So fifth in the age category, Taryn Gazelle. Hell yes, I'm going. So you better believe that I went to that. And then how it works is you have to go and sign up and give all your information. Tell them that you agree to go to the race. And then you walk around to the back of the stage and pay your money and your entry fee right then and there. And if you don't do that, you don't get a spot. And then they give you a little medal that says you are confirmed for World Championships. And then you start training. So that's it. That is Half Ironman Austin 70.3 Trainiacs. I want to really, really thank all of you for all the words that you said in YouTube, on Instagram, some emails that we got on Twitter and Facebook. It really does feel like we're part of a team, especially when I'm able to come to these races and there are people that have grabbed the Trainiac kits. And apparently there were two other people in addition to me that had the Trainiac kits, and I got to meet them, and I got to meet, I don't know, I think I probably met 70 people who said that they watch the videos all the time during the race. I actually had a awesome female cyclist, Fiona something, pull up next to me. She actually won her 25 to 29 age category. And she said, "Are you Taryn?" And we had a chat for like four 4 minutes on the bike. And she, yeah, she's awesome, by the way. And that was kind of how it was all day. Like, people yelling out, hey, Trainiac, hey, go Terran, hey, Triathlon Terran, selfies in the morning and selfies all throughout the week. Honestly, guys, like, it's surreal that there are people that want to know what I'm doing every single day. I love it so much. I'm so thankful that you all spend your time listening and watching me. I'm touched by it very much. Getting a little emotional here. It motivates me incredibly. And all of those shout outs, those messages, the fact that you just spend your time with me every single day is what kept me going during that last lap. And I wanted to not walk for all of you. So thank you for a great season. Now that we have a world championships to train for, there's going to be a hell of a lot of triathlon Terraning. So thanks again. I think that's it. Ironman Austin 70.3 2017 is a wrap. Out. Hey, Trainiacs, I hope you dug that interview. Just a few things before you take off and get onto your next podcast. First off, if you want to get just the best Triathlon Terran stuff filtered for you every week, go to triathlonterran.com/thehits. Enter your email address, and every week, instead of having to sift through all the bad stuff to get to the good, we'll send you out a weekly email with our most popular YouTube video from the previous week, Instagram posts, spot in a podcast, or even some of the favorite gear that I'm trying out. Could be a book, could be some tech, whatever. If you enter your email address, we'll make it easy for you. Get to your best stuff every week by going to triathlonterran.com/thehits.
And next, if you want to support the show at all, you can go to triathlonterran.com and take your pick from a few things we've got there that you can work into your day-to-day training. We've got coaching plans if you are looking for one. We've got our awesome-looking Trainiac gear. And if you click through the Amazon banner ad or click on any of the products that we mention or link to and you purchase anything at one of the affiliate sites like Amazon, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a small commission. And of course, everything adds up and helps us a lot to keep this thing going.
And finally, if you want to get a shout out personally for your family members, Tri Club, whatever you want, leave a rating for us over on iTunes, good, bad, whatever. And in the next podcast, we'll shout out everyone who in the previous week gave us an iTunes podcast rating. That really helps us get discovered there. And if you want to give a shout out to anyone specifically, share the podcast with someone and CC me in at Terran, T-A-R-E-N, at triathlonterran.com, and send us the message that you want to send to your loved one, friend, family member, most hated nemesis out on the tri course, whatever it is.